Welcome into Time Out with Taylor Rooks, now on the SNY.TV audio network. You guys, this is episode number 20. I cannot believe that it is episode number 20. All of these have flown by. And when I realized that it was the 20th episode, I really wanted to have a good guest to really mark the milestone. And John Wall popped in my head because he's really at a time right now where he's using his voice more so than he ever has before. And a lot of the time, the people who have been holding back their words tend to have the realest stuff to say. And that's really what he did in this episode. He didn't hold back at all. He had a conversation about his reality, his struggles, his triumphs, and it really embodied what I want this entire podcast to be about. So he was perfect. He discusses race and politics in the NBA and why he can no longer be silent on certain issues. He explains how money changes those around you and how he has dealt with the success in his life. He also addresses the Instagram post with Bradley Beal that caused a flurry of anti-super team talk. And his great numbers on the court really solidify him as a top point guard in the NBA. So why doesn't he get all the credit he deserves? He discusses that as well. So be sure to subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on iTunes and SoundCloud by searching Time Out with Taylor Rooks. But for now, here is John Wall. All right, John Wall. Very excited to have you on. I told you are episode number 20. Very big accomplishment for me. So I'm happy that to have you on. Very excited. I first off want to say, obviously, this is a New York podcast, so I'm very thankful that you spared Michael Beasley's life, because I think that Knicks fans would be pretty sad if he was gone after that dunk. I just want to know how it feels when you just, like, dunk on somebody like that.
It's cool. I'm used to it, yeah. I just set people up. No, I just set people up with my famous move, and people know me my whole life, where he played with me all summer, and they still fall for it, so... Mm-hmm.
It's one thing, obviously, before I do these podcasts, I talk to a lot of people that I've already had on the show and get their input on who I'm about to interview. And when I asked, like, CJ McCollum about you, he said one thing is you are the fastest person that he has ever played against. Have you always just been quick?
Yeah, I just was short. I was always quick. And then, like, summer going into my junior year, I grew to, like, 6'1". But other than that, I was, like, 5'8", 5'9", all the way up to 10th grade.
Really? And do you feel that separation and, like, your speed and everyone else's?
Yeah, at times, but it's more exciting, like, when I watch a highlight. Mm-hmm. Or watch, like, tape of myself, like, film of, like, how bad or good I play. And then, like, somebody's close to me and it's like,
nobody's there. Just way down there. Yeah. I was reading once that it was, like, when you were younger and you would get in trouble at home, you would just run and hope nobody would catch you. So I want to hear more about that.
Nobody would. And I never knew I was really fast. And you know how you're playing in the games when you're young, you're not really paying attention. You just know you get into the basket, you're scoring. So then I just watched film one day and I was in high school and I was like, yeah, I am pretty fast.
Yeah. Did you run track at all?
Just my last year.
Okay.
So I could stay out of trouble.
Yeah. Stay out of trouble. Why do you say that?
Because when you got a lot of free time and you bad kid and you do everything, it's like... I mean, my neighborhood wasn't great, but people I was around, I had good people around me. But, you know, you just can get, when you got more free time to do a lot of stuff as a teenager or young man, you get an opportunity to be in bad places. So,
how do you feel like, you know, sport was really able to steer you away from that?
That was the biggest reason why I'm not dead or in jail, really, to be honest. I mean, that was my escape way. Like, throughout the whole week I had school. Then weekends, we always had AU tournaments or something, so we always was leaving. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when I was gone, I missed out on spring breaks. I missed out on all those type of fun activities, but it all paid off, so I can have all the spring breaks I want now.
Yeah, more than enough spring breaks.
Yeah.
More than enough spring breaks. I think that, you know, when you look back, do you remember maybe friends you had growing up, people you knew growing up, that it really just did not work out that way for them?
Well, I had my main friend I call Five Deep. Those were my brothers. Then I had my Huawei family, but my Huawei family was on the other side. Like, they was the side that I could have been on, which it was just granted as what they had. It was a gift and a curse. You know what I mean? Like, my gift is to be able to play sports and get away from it. They didn't have one. Theirs is rapping, so, you know, it takes time. Mm-hmm. So you have to find and pave a way until you get to that point. My friends, nah, because we always kind of like, we all try to keep each other focused. We all got in trouble here and there sometimes, but we was locked in and like, let's go to school, let's go to college. Like, that was all our goals. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my friends grew up playing, watching them play basketball, didn't make it, but should have been in the NBA. So a lot of people like that. And I'm not the only one probably with that story. Mm-hmm. It's just sad that they didn't get the escape route.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, especially growing up in an area like that, is sometimes you feel like the only way to escape is to play a sport or to do music. And I think that other occupations can sometimes kind of get lost in that blur because you don't have that representation. It's easier to feel like you can do something if you see someone else doing it. And young black kids see athletes and they see rappers.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to see yourself in that other spot.
Yeah, I think the only way you see yourself in the other spot, to be honest, is you have to have a mentor, basically, or you have to really be locked in at school and find somebody that's there and teaching you those type of things. But like you said, if you don't have that, like I watch sports, so I go to the park and go play all the time. If you're a rapper, you're going to see somebody rapping on TV, you're going to be like, I'm going to go to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can freestyle in front of the whole school, whatever. So those things are like the escape way, the easy way.
Yeah, yeah. But then I feel like you're like, okay, it's not like you're randomly seeing like a black lawyer. Mm-mm. Or a black doctor. So it's not the thing that you instantly connect with.
No,
if that makes sense.
Only time you see them is if you like a lawyer, if you're in trouble, or right. Someone trying to get out of something, or a doctor,
yeah.
If you injured. So yeah, you have a great point there.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's why I think one thing that I think has to change and get better is showing representation of different people to younger kids.
Yeah, I think a lot of these schools should be able to do that though.
Yeah,
like career days and stuff like not mm-hmm. just. They should be able to show people other situations. Like, that's when I always talk to kids and I tell them, like, when I do my back to school giveaway, they be like, well, why basketball? I said, that basketball is not for everybody. Like, you can be a doctor, you can be a police officer, whatever you want to be. You just got to give it 110% effort. You just have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of kids don't believe. They're not playing basketball or rapping. They can't make it out.
Exactly. So you do a back to school giveaway. You're very into, you know, giving back to the community, letting them see you care. How important is that for you?
Well, it's the key to me. That's like one of the biggest parts of why I am who I am. I mean, mm-hmm. I played basketball growing up and did all this, but I never got to meet an NBA player or meet my favorite player. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? I had the opportunity to do that for a lot of kids, but a lot of people, they do it, but they don't like to be present. Like, I like to be there and be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a camp from 9 to 9, I'm there from 9 to 9 because I once signed up for this. I mean, these kids signed up to see me, not to get the instructions from somebody else and not be able to interact with the person they paid money for. Mm-hmm. Or came to the free camp with.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I think public figures, famous people, they like to say that they're doing stuff but not actually doing it. Like, they're putting their name on it.
Yeah, they want the attention. That's all it's for. It's for social media. It's for attention. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all it's for, then you don't really care.
Yeah. You're more so doing it for you than anyone else.
You want to show that you have a clean image and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
No, for sure. I was actually really excited to talk to you today because I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're kind of in this space where I think that you're speaking more. I think that you're using your voice a little bit more. You said that you're no longer content on, you know, being silent about certain issues. What was kind of that, like, awakening moment for you? Why did you decide to switch that?
Well, I mean, just maturing at the same time. I mean, like, I'm one of those people that I can conversate and have talks like this, but, like, speaking out on a situation, didn't want to hear about all the other stuff. I didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
But now it's getting to the point where it's getting outrageous and out of control. So I'm like.
Yeah.
And then I'm one of those players, I feel like I'm a star in the league now. So my mm-hmm. word does mean something. You know what I mean? Kind of when you're not, you're like, oh, well, my word ain't going to mean nothing. Nobody's going to say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big reason why.
Yeah. But if John Wall says something, it's going to be a headline. People are going to be talking about it. And it's going to create a
discussion.
It's
always been like anything I ever said was always a headline, but it's like it's a different aspect of like about if I said something's always about basketball, mm-hmm. like, well, you don't get the respect or the recognition you need. Mm-hmm. I mean, now I say stuff about other stuff. It's people really want to listen, take tone. Yeah. So
does that almost give you kind of like a sense of empowerment too?
Yeah. I mean, because like, remember when they were dealing with the Donald Trump and all that, and LeBron and Chris Paul and D-Wade and all those guys got on at the ESPYs and spoke, because everybody was like, well, until the main guy say something, mm-hmm. they're not going to take a stand on it.
Yeah.
And they did, and I feel like I'm one of those people, if I say something, people to take a stand on it.
Yeah, because like using your voice, I think, is extremely important. And there is this idea that people in sports shouldn't talk about politics, but sports have always been extremely political. Like, this really isn't something.
Oh, yeah, by far.
It's not something that is new. And
it's politics with all that.
Exactly.
Trades, all that type of stuff. It's always politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different aspect of politics, but
100%.
It's still the same.
And it's not like, this bothers me so much. I have to talk about it. Fans that say, okay, we don't want to hear about your politics. Like, race inequality isn't politics. That's just a matter of what's right and what's wrong. You're not talking about health care or taxes. Like, you're just talking about human decency. What fan can look at you and say, you don't want Obamacare? That's politics. You guys aren't discussing that. You're just saying, you know what, people, black people, should not be treated differently than you just because they're black.
Yeah, they said they shouldn't have child support. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's the craziest thing ever.
I think it's just really frustrating that fans care only about what players are doing on the court.
Yeah, because that's all they care for. Because all they're doing is paying for us to play sports. And the day we don't play well or do something, they don't give 2 cents about what we do. So they don't care about what happens off the court or what you do in the locker room. They only care about what you're doing between those lines, and they get to pay their money and watch you play.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as, like, if we pay, we don't have to pay, but if we come watch you do a speech, we want you to do well. So if we do bad on the basketball court, they don't want to deal with us no more.
Yeah.
But when we start talking about what their life is about and what they're involved in, we're the bad person.
Exactly.
But we have the right to stand on anything we want.
Yeah.
You know, anything I say, I stand on it. If it's right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
It's just how I am.
What do you say people's favorite argument is? You're rich. You're not oppressed. You don't know what that is, which is so absurd.
Well, if I didn't know what it was, then how did I get here?
Exactly.
That's one example I give a lot of people, because a lot of people are like, you rich, you can do whatever. Yeah, but money give you more problems than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And me being rich for these years, when I retire and I think I still want to live the same way, I do the same stuff, I can be back broke, and then what are you going to do? Are you going to still call me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to deal with me? I mean, because I hate when people say, if I had that money, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. Well, you never had the opportunity to buy or do whatever you want at any time.
For sure.
Now you have the opportunity, but you also have to understand, you got to get your mom stuff. You're going to have kids someday. You got to make sure they're straight.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't get in there, and it frustrates me all the time. People are like, well, if I had this, I wouldn't do that. Well, you don't know. You never had this money. You never had the opportunity to go to walk 3 blocks and go buy the whole store if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Or go buy a certain kind of car.
Yeah. So, and having money doesn't make you
It don't make
not,
you happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People think you got money. Those be the people that kill themselves more.
Mm-hmm.
Overdose and strangle themselves because they're dealing with so much problems, so much stress.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen, you know, having this lifestyle kind of give you more problems than before?
Well, not even close.
Yeah.
Because this is what it is. People always say money gonna change you. You know, to be honest, it changes the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't understand, I woke up every morning at 5 a.m. to go work out before school. Like, I didn't take days off to get to where I am. Still can't take days off because everybody thinks we just wake up and practice. No, we have interviews, we have mm-hmm. meetings, we have all this other stuff that go along with it. But then you have family members that be like, I don't have to work these 2 weeks. He going to take care of me. Well, I didn't just take 2 weeks off to make it to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't understand and see those type of aspects. So a lot of times I like to bring my family members that's like that, or people I know like that, into the picture for like a week or two and let them see.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're like, oh, damn, I didn't know it was like this. Well, yeah, so you have to work just as hard as I do.
Yeah. I think it was Kobe who kind of had that whole speech about money and how it is about kind of protecting it from the people around you. How hard are those conversations to have?
Well, for me, I'm a caring person, so it's hard. But at the same time, I also have to look in the near future. Like, I got to this point, I never want to go back to not having nothing. Not saying money's everything, it's not going to make me the most happiest person, but I want to make sure I'm straight, I want to make sure my kids straight, I want to make sure I be able to live the same way I live when I play the game of basketball. That's the reason why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it because I love the game, but you also do it for those other aspects. But it's tough, though, because social media now, like, you know, when they were getting paid back in the day, you only could see, like, if it popped up on ESPN real quick. Social media giving you the whole blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
What he get paid the game, what he's doing this day, what he do that day. So that's what makes it more difficult.
Yeah.
It's like your family see you get paid and see on the bottom line. They don't see like what the taxes take from it, what you got to pay, a mortgage and all that. They just see
like this number and it's a big number. Yeah.
And they expect that then the whole family supposed to be straight.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure y'all not bad, but I'm not about to do all that.
Yeah.
So, and then you have the worst part is you have people you never knew. Like, they're your family, but they never came to your high school games, never came to your college games. But all of a sudden, you make it to NBA, and then they're your family again.
Mm-hmm. Is any of that ever hurtful, or you realize that's
just kind
of
how it's hurtful. It's always hurtful.
Yeah.
It's always hurtful. Because it's like the people that you really, really was close with or hung out with growing up, I can give them $30,000 this one time. Like, all right, this is it. Like, make or break you. I'm giving you opportunity to put your place down, set it down, whatever you want. They'll call you in like 3 or 4 months and be like, I need some more money. I'm not.
You just got $30,000, right.
But I'm not giving you no more, though, because you now you think, I do it one time to be like, if you can pay me this back, then I'll help you out. Mm-hmm. But if you can't pay me this back, then don't ask for no more money.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, what's going to happen? They can't pay that amount back. So they should never ask you unless they really like on their last leg.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Now,
makes it difficult for me is I have a lot of nieces and nephews. So like, I'm not going to leave my nieces and nephews
Yeah,
out.
You kind of want to spoil them.
Well, not even just spoil them. I could spoil them, but then they always like, I ain't get this and we need that. Well, I go get it myself for them.
Mm-hmm. How many nieces and nephews do you
24.
Have? 24.
Yeah, I got 6 sisters and 2 brothers.
Oh, wow. What was that like growing up in a big family like that?
Well, they was like half on my dad's side, but yeah. I don't care if it's half. I call it 4. There was just me and my 2 sisters on my mom's side in the house, but all my other sisters and brothers was on the other side. But we all used to go to each other's house every day, kick it and hang it, but it was hectic. It was crazy.
Oh, I love that. I had to ask that because you said you had a lot. But I am curious about this. So when you got your first big check, A, what went through your mind? And what did you buy?
I made it. Bought my mom a house, and I got my sister a car because she was going to college. She was the first one, second one after me going to college. So
yeah,
that's what I did. Got a Range Rover myself, but that was before my contract. You know, like you get a little van. So that then I went straight after that to my neighborhood. Got my mom out of there, and then hung out back home for a little bit. Got my sister a car, and that was it.
Okay, and then of course you got your Supermax extension, which I can't even fathom that much money. When you saw that digit, what did you think?
My kids should be straight.
And their kids.
Yeah, and I bought my mom another house. I got
That's amazing.
House,
yeah, so. You know, I want to talk about your mom really quick. I know in your Hall of Fame speech for Kentucky, you talked about her, and it was incredibly moving. Moms don't get enough credit. They really, really don't. So I think it was amazing that you dedicated so much to her. But I want to give you the opportunity to say, you know, what she means to you and just kind of some of the times that you guys have been through.
If you watch the speech, that's basically a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, that's my best friend. Lost my dad at 9 from cancer. So, I mean, it was tough for me at first because my brothers went to jail. So it was like me being a man in the house. Very difficult for me to let my mom even start dating, you feel me, because I had so much anger.
Yeah.
So that's what made it, that's why I really was. Like, I was already a bad kid. Everybody always called me Crazy J. That's my nickname. Like, I always got in trouble, but I could play basketball. But bad attitude, all those type of things. And when he died, I just really lost it for a long period of time. Like, fights, doing anything, doing whatever. I could tell that my best friend, Ty, he moved from Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut, when I was in 7th grade. That kind of, like, got me away from where I was supposed to go. You know what I mean? I was doing other stuff and basketball. He was just came in new, locked in on basketball, and I was around him a lot, even my other 4 guys. But my mom, nobody could never amount to what she meant. You know what I mean? Working 3 or 4 jobs, taking me to school, picking me up from school, that's the only time I used to see my mom a lot of times. Sacrificing not paying light bill for me to go on AAU tournaments. Trips.
Really?
Yeah, so nobody never could amount to that. Like I said, whoever I marry or whoever be the mother of my kids, if we don't work out, I want them to be the same exact person that my mom is. You know what I mean? Her hard work, her dedication, her love. You know what I mean? She's a loving, caring person. That's where I get a lot of that from. And sometimes people take advantage of that. If you're too loving and too caring, I think that's what happens. But other than that, nah, nobody never come out to what my mom did.
That's
so
amazing.
I wouldn't ask for any other mom in the world, even though somebody's mom might have been rich when they was born. Like, that doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
They see my mom come from nothing, raise kids, and build it all up, and then, so, because, like, I had a talk when I was 16. She's like, either you want to go the same route as your dad, or you want to change the family life. Like, you have an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So at 16, I'm not thinking I got a chance to be in NBA. I knew I should be in NBA because I was talented enough, good enough, but I never got to be seen nation. Because, like, North Carolina, it's not like you go live in New York or Philly and Atlanta, LA. You play in those states, you get the recognition very early.
Mm-hmm.
I got mine super late, but.
Yeah.
So like when I made it and signed my contract, that's why every speech I have is always big about her because
it's really because of her.
Yeah, all the sacrifices. Yeah. So nobody can mount to nothing.
Yeah. No, moms, it's just like such an unconditional love. It's even more than unconditional. It's a love that almost transcends anything. It's the one person that you know, no matter what happens, they're going to be there. It's
like, for sure. Like, it's amazing. Even if you, like, this is going to be, whoever I marry or date, they won't have to go through her. Like,
mm-hmm. She's always going to be. She better approve.
But she's still going to be the number one option, like, first. Yeah. Like, no matter, like, people say, like, do the wife or do the, no, never in my situation. Mm-hmm. You're always going to be second to mom. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. She's going to love hearing that.
She already heard it. That's why I ain't got no girl. She's scared of my mom.
And mom, so what, when mom is looking to approve, what is mom like?
Just be real.
Just be real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just that's like, very like, sweet. Just when I told Coach Cal, he came to my neighborhood when I was growing up, and he never talked. He talked about basketball for 5 seconds. Everything else is just about life.
Yeah.
Because every other coach that came through, they preached basketball when I was getting recruited, and she was like, nah, I don't like that. It ain't real.
Yeah. It's not genuine. The same speech they're giving to everybody.
Coach Cal just talked about life.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, I can trust you going away 8 hours to go to school there.
Yeah. I love that. And I want to talk about that for a second, too. Obviously, you were kind of like a pioneer with this whole one and done situation. You know, that's like people think John Wall when they think of that. People obviously have very polarizing opinions on the one and done. I just want to get your thoughts on it.
Like this, and I don't like to talk about nobody else's story, but mm-hmm. remember, like, I don't read a lot, but I just like to hear about stories. I read a story, but I don't really get into books as much as I want to. But DeJuan Wagner, he wanted to go back to school when he was in Memphis for another year. Mm-hmm. Coach Cal was like, no, you about to be a high draft pick. Go. He went, got drafted. Remember, he got sick. He had something wrong with his stomach. So he only played, I think, 2 or 3 years in the league. Imagine if he went back to school another year and that happens to him. He don't get the opportunity to take care of his family. So what I tell people is the only people that really complain about this is people that they already got the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you telling a kid that came from nothing that he got a chance to go to school for 8 months, 9 months, and then get the opportunity to go take care of his family, who wouldn't do that? Because if it wasn't for us had to go to school, we all would go out of college. I mean, out of high school.
Mm-hmm. You only go because they say you have to go.
Yeah. Right? Well, and I was going to go regardless because I told my dad I wanted to get my degree, so I'm definitely going back to do that, but I wanted to go to college anyway. So I told him that, but it's not bad at all. What are you telling kids? You want them to go to school? And I give you a prime example. You look at football players, they got to stay in school 3 years. By the time they get to the league, they already worn down and done. And let's say if they go to a school that run the football a lot or don't have a good offensive line, those guys are getting killed already. So by the time they get to the league, they got 3 or 4 good years. Their career's over. Or they don't even want to play more than 1 year because they already had too many concussions and things like that. So if you have the opportunity to go make a living and change stuff, you go do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually something I'm honestly like.
Because these college kids, some kids got to go to school for 3 or 4 years. They're not getting paid a dollar.
Right.
But everybody else is making all the money off of it.
No, completely. And that I was going to say, I have spoken about this a lot. I'm a very big advocate of, first off, I think the NCAA is just a scam in itself. I think athletes should be paid. And I actually had Snoop Dogg on the podcast once, and a point that he brought up was, he was saying he thinks that college players should be paid because a lot of these kids graduate, go to the league, and they have never handled money before. But if you're in college and you're getting money and you're learning how to handle copious amounts, it helps you be in a better situation once you are in the league. Like, money management is something you need to learn.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. And then at the same time as this, if you don't want certain guys that shouldn't be one and done taking that leap just because they want to take care of their family. Like, a lot of kids don't even want to leave after 1 year. Like, some of them know they're not one and done. They like, I really have to take care of my family right now. Like, my family's in the need. So they willing to go get picked in the second round and bet on themselves. Mm-hmm. So if they have opportunity, they can get a little bit of money to take care of their family and make sure they're stable in college. A lot of these kids wouldn't be one and done. You can have a better draft. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, kids are like, I need it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these people don't come from that background, that upgrowing. So you see kids go to school, like might leave high school early, go to college, get the absence, go to college and just sit out that whole year. But they get the opportunity to go to the league if they're ready without even having to play college.
It's also a culture that everyone else has created. Like, it's not the kid's fault.
No, it's not. That's his fault. It's people like my fault, but it's like I can't control that.
That's people like my fault.
Yeah, but I can't control it because, like, when I was in high school, they were like, I was going to be number one pick already since my junior, senior year of high school. So, I mean, everybody was like, well, he going to school for this, but I really want to school to go win the championship. If I'm going to go for 1 year, I want to win a championship. So I told all my teammates, you can ask them. I debated about, like, I wanted to go back to school because I wanted to win a championship. That's what I went to college for. But it was like, what you going to go back to school for? You can't go no higher than what you're going.
Yeah.
And then you jeopardize going back, getting injured. What do you have? A career in the injury.
And you had no money for it. You have no money to show.
No,
right.
Nothing at all.
No, I think that makes sense. And I do think we're in a time where a slow reform is going to come with NCAA. And I do hope that it does come.
It's going to be tough with them people.
Yeah, it should have happened already. So maybe that's just wishful thinking on my end, but fingers are crossed. I want to talk about the Wizards just a little bit before I do let you go when we get to the Twitter questions. So I read that your goal this year is you want to get at least 50 wins and, of course, go to the Eastern Conference Finals. What makes you guys able to do that this year?
We was one game away. We was 12 minutes away from it last year. And everything that I used, like not having enough energy the last 12 minutes of being fatigued, had to play so much, but I don't make excuses when I play.
Mm-hmm.
I took the same type of shots I made all game, just missed them then. So you think we 12 minutes away from Kelly Olynyk having a career night in the fourth quarter, all those things. So now we improved our team, I think. I got better. Brad got better. Otto, Keith, Gortat, Kelly, all those guys we brought back got better. And then we added some good pieces, I think, that can help our team get over the hump.
Is there this, you know, when I interview a lot of athletes, something that they always talk about is almost, you know, legacy. The legacy that you're going to leave behind as an athlete.
Yeah.
Is there ever the thoughts of like, you know, I don't want to be that guy that, you know, didn't make it out.
Oh, for sure. Everybody, yeah.
You know, didn't make it to the finals, didn't make it to the second round.
Your ultimate goal is always get to the championship. You know what I mean? You want to get, like, people can say they went to the East Conference Finals, but did you ever get to the championship? Did you ever compete for one? I mean, and my legacy is like one of those people that want to play for one team my whole career and is also want to win a championship. You know what I mean? They haven't had one in so many years. And I want to be the next one to bring the next one there.
Do you ever feel like people maybe don't put you up as far as you should be?
Still don't.
Yeah. No. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Politics. They probably don't like me.
Yeah. You think so?
I don't know. I speak my mind, so I don't hold my tongue for nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and like I always say, some people like come in this league and blossom very early. I didn't have the opportunity because I dealt with injuries, which I'm fine with, but God has a plan with everything. So my time is now, and I'm taking full advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I still don't. You know what I mean, some people are like, well, is he a top 5 point guard? There's only two people who averaged 20 and 10 last year, other than me, as guards. Mm-hmm. You know, I barely make all NBA team.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
I use all that as motivation. I mean, I was, top 2 in steals, well, number 1 in steals maybe, and top 2 in other categories, didn't make all defensive team.
And why that is?
Because it's all politics about certain players. They benefit for what they did in their past. Well, when their time has come, then they're not doing the same thing they used to do. You got to get them off the books.
Like, a lot of people's perception of players is like what they feel is the reputation of players.
Yes, that's all it is.
How do you get over that hump, you think?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't, I don't care. Right. I know people know how well I am, how good I am playing basketball. All I do is just use motivation, keep getting better, doing the same stuff the same year and doing it even better. People know, they look at my history book and my legs when I'm done of what type of player and numbers I put up. And sometimes you get snubbed. It's a part of it. Like, I didn't make McDonald's All-American in high school. I don't understand how. I ain't winning National Player of the Year in college, but I don't know how.
But you weren't McDonald's. That's a little crazy.
I've been snubbed my whole life from a lot of things, so it doesn't bother me. Like, people are like, do you be mad? Yeah, you be upset, but it's just more fuel to the fire for me.
How frustrating was it? I mean, just from talking to kind of your teammates, people I know, you and Bradley are clearly friends, but how frustrating was it that there was this storyline and idea that you guys just hated being around each other?
It's funny to us to this day.
Because
any two stars going to have dislikes at times on the court because you both want to be so great.
Yeah.
I want to take game winning shot. He want to take game winning shot. But we both have come accustomed to whoever's hot at the time get it. And sometimes if you're hot, you might have to be that decoy. How do we have a problem? We both averaged 23 last year. He should have been an all-star with me. So, like, and then when I said, let him earn his money, everybody said, oh, you hating. What am I hating for? I can't control that the money went up at the time. The same way when I got my money, everybody said, oh, he don't deserve it. He didn't do nothing yet. I was an all-star. I didn't do anything. But Brad wasn't either, but let him earn it. Let him prove it.
Mm-hmm.
He went on and had a career year.
For sure. And I think that people kind of run away with things.
They just
want
to find something to talk about.
Yeah.
If they can't find anything else to talk about on our team, they have to find something to try to break that team up. I mean, everybody always look at Kyrie, LeBron, and try to find something since that day one over there. Like, do they like each other? Is Kyrie mad at this or that? They have their own opinion to whatever they want. You don't know what their situation or what their problems are. Nobody never will.
I read once that you were coming off injuries and you said, you know what? People haven't even been able to see, like, the real John Wall yet.
They still haven't.
I was going
to
say.
They seen glimpses of it last year.
Do you think the real John Wall appears this season?
Yeah. It's the most healthiest I've ever been in my whole NBA career. Mm-hmm. So.
What separates real John Wall from that John Wall?
That John Wall was just playing off of so much. That was a John Wall that just showed how tough he was, that played through so many injuries. Like, it didn't matter. Like, if it ain't broke, I'm playing. Even if it is broke, I'm still playing. I had 5 fractures in my hand. So I wasn't even nowhere near myself and still was averaging 16-9 and 8 in this league. So, like, people are like, well, he can't really score. Yeah, I can. I just like to get my teammates involved. But I'm able to be more healthy. I can do both things. Like, a lot of years, I was able to jump off just one leg. Mm-hmm. Couldn't use the other one, but nobody would know it because I played through it.
But you knew. Like, this is my final form.
I had to go 3 hours before the game just to warm up, like, to get my body prepared sometimes. You know what I mean? I was too young to be doing it, but I was just so eager to want to play.
So this is going to be a very scary season.
Yeah. Last year was just a glimpse.
Okay. So. All right. I see it. I feel it. All right, let's get to your Twitter questions. I'm sure there are plenty. Who is his favorite non-basketball athlete to watch?
My non-favorite is athlete.
Yeah, I think they're saying, like, so football player, like tennis player. Like,
oh, football player.
Yeah.
For sure, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, okay.
Double check.
Just go double check. Who are his top 5 friends in the league besides your Kentucky guys?
Dang. DeMar DeRozan, for sure.
Okay.
Paul George. Kyrie Irving. There's so many teams, though.
Before, while you're thinking, I want to say this because it's something that people have this idea that you
guys... Oh, yeah, and the twins.
Markieff and Marcus?
Yeah.
Okay. People have this idea that...
Brad and my teammates.
Basketball players have to hate each other. Like, you guys can't be friends.
No. But those are my teammates, so...
Yeah.
Well, I can take my teammate off if you want.
No, it's fine. No, I love hearing that.
Yeah, into Isaiah
Thomas. Okay, Isaiah Thomas. How do you think he'll do this year?
Hopefully come back. You know, I mean, that's my guy. I went down there this summer and went to his little tournament, little event he has this Zeke weekend. So I hope he get healthy.
Good. All right. This one wants to know your favorite trap rapper out right now.
Trap rapper. Man, I listen to all trap music.
Can I just say, I am from Georgia. We originated trap music. Let me just throw that out there.
Yeah, y'all get the pass.
Okay, good.
Right now, like, is it going by, like, the song or just all this music?
I think they just want to know who's your favorite trap rapper right now.
There's so many, I can't pick one person.
Okay, give me 3. We'll alter this question a bit.
I like Lil Baby, the new guy.
Okay.
Lil Durk's my guy. It's too many.
Too many?
I can't just give you one. It's too many trap good music. Like, cause they all make a certain amount of songs.
Okay, that's fine. You could do a music podcast later and tell them all. I wanted to ask this too. Tell me about the black fist tattoo on your back. And I know you have a lot of prominent black figures tattooed on you. What went into that? Why'd you decide to do it?
Just powerful people.
Yeah.
A reason why us African American has a lot of freedom. What they believed in, they stood on, they stand on. Like I said, whatever I say, I stand on it. Like Muhammad Ali, like, whoever is not courageous enough to take risks will never be nothing in life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something I stand on because anybody that's a billionaire, anybody that ever did anything in life, they all took a risk. They invested in something or took a sacrifice to probably not put their money in this one fund or might miss out on a couple of trips to be who they are today. They took sacrifice. So it's just like black power. It's just like they're powerful people. And I want people to understand that everybody's all powerful in this world, but we all mean something. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of us don't believe in ourselves because so many.
I think a lot of people almost tell us not to.
Yeah, because so many, I don't want to say white or, well, I say Caucasian people. So many Caucasian people are like owners and these billionaires and business people. Well, us African Americans can get to that point too. Mm-hmm. We just have to believe in it. And whatever we put our investments into or whatever we want to do in life, you have to be strong about it. I think like the route LeBron's going is very powerful. It's giving us P. Diddy, Jay-Z, those type of guys are giving us life of showing us.
Yeah, it's that representation.
Yeah, we can be something. So like Diddy say, he wanted to own the NFL team. Now he wants to be the commissioner. He wants to own the whole league. You know what I mean? So that's powerful because you really wouldn't used to hear us African Americans talk like that. And to hear that and see us striving to be that, that's going to brighten our kids' upbringing and lives.
No, for sure. I'm leaving here all motivated. All right, a couple more. Favorite restaurant in D.C.?
RPM.
What? Yeah. That's everywhere, though. You got to do, like, one that's just that's in D.C.
I'm very, very picky.
So you like it? Nowhere.
Like, I like Joe's Seafood and Steakhouse.
Okay.
I like RPM.
Okay.
I got a chef, so I don't really go nowhere.
Oh, must be nice. Got a chef?
Yeah, I can go like Thai chili, but that got everywhere. Well, you can say Ben's Chili Bowl because a lot of people don't have that.
Okay, I don't think I've heard of that, so I don't.
Ben's Chili Bowl?
No.
If you go to DC, you gotta go there.
I gotta go there.
You don't get the mama sauce, they're gonna say you're not the right person.
Well, so that's like carry out, now as y'all call it, carry
you
out.
You can go in there, but if you don't go there, then you ain't really been to DC, as they say, huh, Darren? Right. That's what me and Brad had our little mural put on the wall outside.
Oh, that was that place. Okay.
You wouldn't think it's nothing like that, but it's very famous.
I'll try it. No, I love food, so if I'm in D.C., I will go there. How do you feel about super teams? Obviously, you had your comment about you and Brad being all you got.
Well, let me clear the air, because a lot of people are like, well, you try to get this and that person. Okay, like, it's like super teams, I feel like if you try to bring everybody together, like you can always go get one person to make your team better. That's not a super team because your team is all built up through the draft or trade. Super team is when everybody try to just load up and go to one team.
Yeah.
But I can't control them. I mean, they all make their own decision. They all got their own destiny. Me, it's just like, okay, me and Brad didn't get nobody to come be with us and everybody said we had a super team, so it's just me and him. So I'm just building my team up and showing these guys, okay, no matter who's on any team, or whoever put on a different jersey, we can compete and beat against anybody. So giving my teammates motivation.
Okay, see, air is clear. Because that was everywhere when you posted that.
Oh, it's always going to be.
Everyone was freaking out.
Told you, every time I say something, it could be good or bad, it's going to go everywhere.
Oh, that's really funny. Okay, will Beal and Otto set up the offense more this season so you can play off the ball more, cut and slash, and use your athleticism?
Yeah. Those guys that improved, all those improved in pick and rolls, making plays, and Brad definitely. So, yeah, like Coach said, Brad be point guard sometimes.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're going to have some problems. Are you a Cowboys fan?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Mama's boy.
Boo.
Who your
Boo,
team?
Cowboys. Falcons. Okay.
Oh, my God. You really want to talk about then that blew a Super Bowl like that?
At least we were there. At least we can get past one playoff game.
It don't matter.
We were there.
Yeah, we had it started. When the last time have y'all been
but
there since
people,
then?
People that but like when was the Cowboys last time y'all just like the Cowboys.
No, they're the American team. You know how they got America's team, right?
Well, yeah, but why
how
do
they get
you,
America's
why
team?
Why do you like them?
But how
like,
they get,
what's your,
how do they get America's team?
Why are the Cowboys?
How do they get America's team?
Why?
Because they was like they went back in the day. They was practicing and playing one day.
Yeah.
And they was like having so many highlights and stuff. And somebody was like, "Yo, y'all should be on TV. Y'all should be America's team." That's how they got the name.
I kind of thought people just kind of called them
no,
America's
no,
team.
No, that's like, what happened. If you go look at the story, that's how they became America's team. It ain't like
so
nobody came out.
Is that why
like,
they're your team?
No, I said I'm a mom.
Because your mom likes the Cowboys.
So my mom grew up in North Carolina. The Panthers wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? That's who she watched. My dad from D.C., he was a Redskins fan.
There is another. Oh, I had Lou Williams on the podcast. He loves the Cowboys. I'm like, why? J.R. Smith loves the Cowboys.
Everybody does, though.
Why?
LeBron, Marquise.
Like, I get it, but it's like, I just feel like
this,
it isn't fair, though.
Why is it not fair?
Because you got to pick a team that is
that's what I grew up watching.
I get it.
What you grew up watching?
Falcons.
Okay.
Mike Vick, okay.
But we didn't have the Panthers when I grew up.
So you had to pick something.
The Panthers didn't come in to win. 90.
Yeah. So you had to pick a team.
I didn't have to. But that's what I'm watching all day and see my mom running around in a shirt, so... All right, that's my team.
So that's your team. You're a Cowboys. Yeah. I'll give you a pass. I'm not giving everyone else a pass, though. Well, this person asked why you're a Cowboys fan, but you just answered.
Yeah, I'm a mama's boy, and that's my mom's team. So.
All right, we'll do two
And then
two
you
more.
Go to D.C., half a D.C. Cowboys fan. You go to the game in D.C.
More than the Redskins?
What? The game be crazy.
That's not crazy to y'all?
But
why
yeah.
you winning?
Well, what is D.C. for? Dallas Cowboys. That's what they be saying. Ain't that what they be saying there? But if you go to the game there, you would be amazed. You'd be amazed. You would think it's neutral sighting.
That is really funny. They said the D.C. is Dallas.
Like, I want to know how New Jersey people is Giants fans.
Well, granted, it's literally what you have to have, and they also play in New Jersey.
Hey, man, listen, I mean, man, you Jesse.
And New Jersey people also think they are New Yorkers, so that's a different story. Let's see. Who is winning MVP this season?
Me.
You. Well, this person said, I think you'll say yourself, so who comes in second place?
I don't care about second.
Just you. Just yep. You will be first. All right, let's see. What's a good one?
See, I be wanting to do these questionnaires on my Twitter, but I would never get to all these questions.
Yeah, I'm just trying
my
to
My Twitter be too late. I have to do it with y'all one day. Like, I would never have to do it with myself.
All right, last one. What advice do you have for kids playing youth travel ball?
The advice I would give them is, and it's not trying to bring up other stuff, like, don't try to get involved and let other people from the outside, like parents or like coaches and stuff, take away from you having fun. Like, just go enjoy the traveling, go and play in these AU tournaments. Don't, like, because, like, you see what's going on with the NCAA?
Mm-hmm.
That type of stuff probably been going on for years. And you got certain parents or certain coaches that have put those kids in those positions. If you keep that away, and you know you have a talented kid that might have a chance to be one of them or whatever and make it to the league, just let him go enjoy traveling, be with the other kids and interact and play and have fun. But when you start to add all the other stuff in, and now you got kids saying, I want to get paid to play on this AU team, well, you need to just stop it.
Yeah, I like it.
Because when we came up, it was okay. You that guy, go play against this guy no matter what team you're on. If you go to this guy, go to that camp, do your thing. But just go play. Like, I don't like these, because basically you're putting these kids in a bad situation and they have no control of it.
Because
you never know what the person on the backside doing. That's like in my high school game, my mom stopped all that. No agents, no nothing, come out of games. We
just
don't want to see
out
it.
There and
no,
like,
just let
yeah.
my son go be a high school kid. I mean, because if you let that start coming around, now you don't know. They trying to hand them on the side where they handing the other guy, and then he try to go to college and play, and they say, well, you suspended for the year. That kid's lost and devastated because he didn't get the opportunity to live out his college dreams.
I like That's it. Very advice. Good advice. This was a very enlightening conversation. You were a very good guest. I'm so happy that you came on. You are a talker. You talk about everything. That's like, my type of guest.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for your time, John.
No problem.
That was John Wall. I hope all of you walk away from this conversation feeling like you have a better understanding of who he is off the court, but also very excited to see who he will be on the court this season. I think the real John Wall may cause some problems around the league. But John was incredibly introspective in this episode, and I learned so much just about perseverance and being true to yourself. And I think this year he's taking the next step in basketball, but also in his own self journey, speaking up, speaking out, using his voice, helping people. And in the grand scheme of things, and I think you can tell that just by listening to him, that's really what's most important. So thank you for listening and for being on this journey with me through 20 episodes. Like, subscribe, and leave a review if you haven't yet. I am Taylor Rooks. Talk to you soon.